This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
As we are just a few weeks away from entering a new decade, it is no surprise that we have a lot of questions on talent readiness and also the future of work. Just what do we need to do to ensure we still have a job in the future, and where do we start? Well, with me to shed some light on some questions that are looming in my head is Surina Shukri, the CEO of MDEC. Surina, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We also have Fionn Ng, the LinkedIn's Vice President, Talent and Learning Solutions for Asia Pacific, on the phone with us. Fionn, thank you so much for being with us on the line.
Hi, Jeff and Surina. Thanks for having me.
Now, Surina, I'll start with you first. Like, how are jobs changing, and what kind of skills are needed in the future here?
Well, whenever we talk about the future, we know that the only thing constant is change. And so no surprise, you know, the nature of work is also changing. So in fact, like one statistic that I saw, that World Economic Forum came up with a report recently and said 35% of the jobs are going to be changing over the next decade. And so what does this mean, actually? So I think when you think about it, number one, there will be more need for technology skills. Like that's no surprise. Things like, you know, programming, technology design, evaluating systems and whatnot. These sort of jobs are on the rise. But the other thing that's also we start to see also is just more human skills. What do I mean by that? You know, as you think about, we think about AI, we think about automation, but at the same time, human skills are pretty important too. It's creativity, originality, you know, innovation, thinking skills, analysis, leadership, emotional intelligence. All of this is actually going to be very, very important as well in the future. So you need like hard technical skills, but more importantly, you also need soft skills as well.
Yeah, certainly. I think Surina rightly pointed out that when we talk to CEOs and entrepreneurs around the region, they're most worried about having the right talent in this digital era. And what I mean by that is we see top skills like artificial intelligence, big data, and cloud computing, skills that are leading the way in today's economy. But as Serena mentioned, the soft skills are really growing in importance. It's likely that these companies will have to adopt these new technologies in the future, and as well as having employees to have the relevant tech skills and to learn and understand the basic concepts of it, and to also have the soft skills like creativity and critical thinking. So LinkedIn is actually in the position of equipping organizations and employees to make sure that they have the right data and insights to help equip the people to hire and develop their organizations.
It's funny, right? Because, you know, we're going to see more robots into the workforce. But, you know, the critical skill here is that we shouldn't behave like robots.
We need
to be more like humans in order to, I guess, progress into the future, right? So how should people then start thinking about lifelong learning? Surina?
Like I said before, the only thing constant is change. And the only way that you can prepare your future-proof yourself is this whole notion of lifelong learning. And oftentimes people think that, oh yeah, lifelong learning applies to the young people. No. This is when you think about your entire career, your career doesn't just stop at 50. After that, you're still continuing to reinvent yourself and constantly learn to keep up. Because imagine if you're not the one that is creating technology, you're the ones using it. So therefore you need to constantly be keeping yourself updated in terms of, you know, what these possibilities actually present, how these possibilities present itself. And so lifelong learning is key. Like if I take myself, for example, like I was in a corporate role for a very long time, but I knew that as I started thinking about innovation and technology and whatnot, like I myself started to have this, continued to have this curiosity and really started to sought out, you know, new information, new learning. And so I would say that everybody has to factor in anywhere from 10 to 20% of their time just into learning.
Mm. Fionn, do people struggle with, you know, being the need to learn and that lifelong learning and the upskilling and the reskilling?
Well, when I think about the question around do people struggle, I think most people would say that they lack time And that's one of the most common pushback that I hear from employees when they feel like, oh, they lack the time to actually be learning, or they feel like the organizations are not investing in them. So if you look at some of our data, it shows that 40% of the people are leaving their jobs because they felt that the companies are not providing that learning and development opportunities for them. But at the same time, we do have people telling us that they don't have time to go for learning and reskilling. And hence, they really need to think out of the box. Like, if you look at what's happening today, there's lots of e-learning courses, short courses, modules that is made available that people can actually pick up. So lifelong learning should just become part and parcel of our life. And with the nature of jobs evolving and hybrid roles are emerging, that doesn't mean that employee skills today are not relevant. What's important that they are able to pick up new skills and be prepared for the future. Jobs in the market today may not exist tomorrow. So if you're not equipping yourself and not having the attitude of lifelong learning, you might find yourself not, you know, not being prepared for the jobs of the next generation.
The other way to think of this also is that it doesn't all just boil down to jobs. I think that lifelong learning is important just as a lifestyle standpoint, because when you think about it, there are new tech tools that come out all the time. There's new business models, there's new everything. And so if you're not constantly learning, then you won't have the best life.
Yeah. It's difficult, I guess, to even just live in the future without knowing how to actually utilize this kind of new services that we can't even think of at the moment, right? Sticking with the talent, though, because there are two sectors when we talk about talent. One is the, I guess, the future of our talent today, in the sense of the citizens who are, you know, enrolled in universities and you know, perhaps in the next year or so will be then looking for a job. How are they going to, I guess, cope with the change that's going to happen in the workforce? And also then the second part is, like, you know, I guess the other area is the current talent, the ones that are already in the workforce. So we understand, you know, the complexity involves in terms of time, but, you know, as Fionn mentioned, there are areas where they can actually improve. What about the ones who haven't even begun their journey in the workspace, but it's already, you know, changing so fast?
Yeah. So it's interesting that you asked that question, because the World Economic Forum back in April released a new survey, and this survey was around ASEAN digital skills. So surveying the youth and what they thought about skills and you know, talent development in general. And what that survey actually said was that the youth, our young people, are aware of this already. Mm. So they know that skills are going to change and lifelong learning is key. So they're aware of that already. And I think they're quite adept in terms of picking up new technology and constantly learning. I think the where we are now is continuing to emphasize that in the workforce, we need to continually have that. And that's why one of the things that we're doing, particularly on the government side, is encouraging this. When we talk about tech talent development framework, for example, we're really emphasizing, you know, the workforce needs to continue to train itself. So one of the things that was highlighted in the recent budget 2020 was allocation towards upskilling, sort of the need to do more continuing training, and so some allocations towards reskilling programs that we're partnering with HRDF on. So that's one example. But we're also starting to see corporates get realize this as well. Both corporates here, you know, I know CIMB, Maybank, and others have specific programs to upskill and retrain, and the big companies elsewhere have that too. Like Amazon, for example, is spending something like $750 million to retrain and upskill their employee base.
Fionn, what about LinkedIn? What's your role here?
Yeah, so I was just going to add to what Serena had mentioned, that she rightly pointed out in terms of the role that corporate can do. If you look at companies that is trying to find that 100% exact match for the skill set that they need, it's going to be a challenge to find the right people. So companies should consider taking on someone that has, for example, 70% of the skill set and invest in them in helping that individual build the other 30%. Showing that your company has a lifelong learning strategy and building their learning assets, and so as bringing in people not just for what they know today, but what the company is going to be teaching them tomorrow, will be a long way in attracting talent. And I think that's the essential bit when companies think about how they can nurture their talent pipeline.
And I guess, you know, when it comes to the other question that's always in my head is that we know that the change is coming. We know that we need these digital skills. But as an organization, where do they start in order for them to actually empower their employees on this journey itself?
There's lots of companies that they look at where their business is heading in terms of the needs of the kind of skills that they need. So, for example, if they need the artificial intelligence skills that is required to meet the needs of their business, a lot of companies, what they're looking at is looking at what's their existing employees' profile, what are the existing skill sets that the existing employees have today, how do you create a learning roadmap to help them to achieve the goals. And there are a couple of ways that they can do, putting them through the online training that I mentioned earlier, putting them onto different projects so that people get exposure. Or they might have hired some people with that right skill and just ensuring that there's reverse mentoring. All of these things that happens within our organization can actually help groom the future talent.
I would add to that, picking on Theon's word, exposure. I think exposure is key. And so we all, if we're in a leadership position of any kind, and parenting is considered a leadership position, providing exposure is key. So in the workforce, for example, encouraging people to attend conferences, for example, encouraging people to have, you know, you might just have, it could be as simple as having a brown bag lunch sharing, and so you can start to compare information, because exposure is key, because any kind of exposure is a kind of learning. It's not just necessarily the online course that you take or the coding. It's not that.
Finally, though, I want to ask, like, what do you think will happen in the year 2030 as we approach, you know, a new decade in 2020? We got to look beyond that as well. In 10 years from now, what would be the workforce like? How much will things change? Because in this last decade, we've seen the rise of the gig economy, for example, where we've got services like, you know, the Grabs of the world, the Airbnbs of the world, where they've really changed the way, you know, people would look at the skills that's needed in the workforce. 10 years from now, I know we can't predict the future, but how do we prepare ourselves for, again, the ever-changing workforce industry? Fionn?
Yeah, so in fact, when we just published our Future of Skills for Asia-Pac for 2019, it shows that 40% of the people are leaving their company because of the lack of learning and development opportunities. So it's actually really important for companies to keep investing in their people to make sure that they have the right skills in order to meet the needs of the business needs tomorrow. So what is the future? The future is that the jobs is going to change a lot more rapidly. And hence, it is actually really important for companies, employees to have a growth mindset and to learn and to keep developing yourself. And our research tells us that the lack of time is one of the main challenges people feel. Yeah. So watching a 5-minute online video course, reading an article, listening, cross-mentoring, exposure, all of this thing is part of learning. So we just need to start adapting the attitude that learning is a lifelong journey. It's not something that you do and you're done and you have a job for life. That's not going to work anymore.
I would add to that also, we're already starting to see some of this today. Formal academic qualifications may be less important, because it's really all about demonstrating the skills that you have and then applying that. So theory becomes much less important than practical. So that is, you know, from an employer standpoint, from an employee standpoint, I think much like how today we're much more demanding consumers in terms of the things that we consume. Similarly, on a consumer standpoint, we're much more demanding from a customer experience standpoint. So here, employee experience also matters. And so the workforce of the future will also be expecting to be able to contribute with interesting and exciting. You know, companies need to also be much more purposeful. Mm. You know, there's a bigger purpose.
You know, the jobs may change, but I guess the skills that we need, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, you've got to have critical thinking no matter what kind of job you're in. You know, it's always important. And you never stop learning. at the end of the day, you still got to be able to adapt to be able to learn, and that will never change.
And you rightly said, Jeff, actually, the key point is soft skill is going to be an important part because these tech skills will keep on becoming an essential part of the workforce. But the soft skills is what a lot of people are missing out. And in the long run, the biggest skills gaps are soft skills such as creativity and critical thinking. And these the robots can replace.
Yeah. And I would add to that also, whenever we think about skills and we think about the future, we automatically come back to there's a notion that, okay, the top five jobs in the future is just going to be like tech. Mm. But if you look at even in LinkedIn, you know, the top five emerging jobs are, I would say it's 3D. So what is 3D? So it is, of course, data. So anything data related today, that's a big, there's high demand for that. Two, developers. So we still, it's full stack developers. Three, design. So it's user design, experience design. That's important. But in addition to that, content writers. Writers. And so, because you still need to communicate with one another. And so how do you get content out? And so that's another high demand job. And of course, you know, you need testing engineers because there's a lot of like 5G, 4G technology that's going to be out there. You need people to test that. So those are sourced from LinkedIn.
All right, Fionn, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the line. That was Fionn Ang, LinkedIn's Vice President, Talent and Learning Solutions for Asia Pacific. Fionn, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we also had Serena Shukri, the CEO of MDEX. Serena, thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
And you've been listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.